Yeah, that would be great. Thanks so much.
This meeting is now being recorded. You may go ahead.
Thank you, operator. We have on the call James Bladel, who is the chair of this group, Rod Rasmussen, Randall Vaughan, Paul Diaz, Martin Hall, Jose Nazario, and Dave Piscitello, and Marika Koenigs and myself from staff. Thank
and
you.
We had apologies
from Joe Sansever and Calman Ferrer. And Calman has added that if there are any tasks to be distributed, he will be very willing to take a task on, because from next week he will be freer to do this.
Well, that is a dangerous statement to make, isn't it?
It's very.
So, no, we appreciate Cal's willingness to volunteer. Well, good morning, everyone. And I apologize that I'm a little behind the eight ball today, as well as from a communication standpoint. I'm doing this over Skype, so if there's audio problems at all, let me know, and I will try to find an alternate means of connecting to the call. There's been some good traffic on the list, but to get us started, I wanted to go back to Marika's message from Wednesday, the 22nd, following our last call, where she outlined several bullet points of action items that were takeaways from last week's call. And we can use this somewhat as a jumping-off point, as a pseudo-agenda for this session, and keep us moving forward and keep us knocking items off of our list for next week. Does that sound appropriate or a solid approach for everyone?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so starting off there, with the first bullet point, we posted a draft of a letter to relevant IETF directors on the list, and I saw that there were a couple of exchanges on the list relative to that. So can we start there and then the group come to a consensus on what we want to include in that letter, or if it's good to go as it's as it currently stands. Any thoughts or comments on the letter? Or Dave, is there anything that you'd like to add on that?
I think Greg, Greg corrected my misinterpretation of the acronym, so I can certainly correct that. If there's anything else, I'm happy to make adjustments.
The only comment I had is I was just questioning whether it was appropriate for this letter to be coming from me directly or from the group as a whole, or I'm happy to do that as well. I certainly don't want to seem like I'm taking the credit for putting together this nice bit of work here, Dave.
I think that you speak for you speak on behalf of the working group, and that's the way that I usually write things for Steve Crocker, and I view your role pretty much the same. So unless there's some formality that Glenn and Marika know, I have no problem with identifying you.
Okay, and I'm willing to be the point of contact for those folks as well. I just wanted to make sure that. If I'm speaking for the group, I want to make sure that I have consensus on what we're asking them to provide.
James, it's Paul. Can I have a question?
Absolutely, Paul.
It's really for both you and Dave. The question is just, you asked for the comments to be returned by the 15th of May. Do you think that that's realistic? I know there's been a lot of talk about banking holidays for folks outside the U.S., North America. I guess that's tomorrow, you're basically going to be giving them 2 weeks to respond, and when you consider how long we've gone through all this, is 2 weeks realistic for them to kind of chew on the questions we're putting in front of them and return a response, or are we more likely to get a better response if you give them perhaps another week?
That's a good point, Paul. I think that this Friday we're into May already, correct? So perhaps even another week, or perhaps even towards the last week of May would be more.
I really defer to Dave because he may know. You know, these folks are so expert; they may be very well aware, can dash out a response quickly. I just wouldn't want to almost paint them into a corner, saying, "Hey, can you do this in 2 weeks?" And they feel, "Hey, they want to contribute," but at the same time, that's just such a tight deadline for them.
It's truly
a question.
I guess I see one of two outcomes. It will be largely ignored, which is one outcome, or we're going to get a flurry of comments. Hopefully some of which would be productive. The IETF is not that much different than the ICANN community. Yeah, there are people who will jump at the opportunity to dance on something, and there are other people who will say, I don't have time for it, no matter how much time we give them. My concern is that something that Marika has to really feed into, because should we get a lot of comments and we get them June 1st, what's the likelihood of getting a final report by the 17th when many of us will be heading to Sydney is very, very slim. At least, I know that my writing assignments are just piling up, and I'm certain that everyone else is as overworked as I am. So it's kind of a practical thing, and it's not my decision.
That's a good point. Paul, I think that you're absolutely correct. I think that perhaps we could stick with the 15th, and I think those folks who are interested but yet can't get something submitted by the 15th, maybe we can reach out to them individually and see if we can somehow provide a little more time for them to respond without pushing the entire schedule back. But I don't know. Marika, I'm open to 15th or
could we otherwise say by the 15th, or an indication by when you would be able to submit comments? So we do indicate to them that we are working under a tight deadline, but we do leave the door open for them to suggest an alternative date in case they need more time to provide comments. Could it be a in between approach?
Yeah, kind of like what we're doing for issues reports. That one issue report, I think, for IRTPB.
Yeah, whether it's basically a deadline or an indication by when you're able to provide the report, or in this case the comments. I think that might be a way to, because as Dave said, they might just ignore it and then we don't get any response. But I don't think we should deter them either by giving them such a strict deadline. That at least leaves the door open, like if they really want to comment, to provide that opportunity to say, okay, we need another 2 weeks or another week, something like that.
Okay, so the way to modify that, there's one possible suggestion would be to change the last line to, we request that you comment, and then perhaps in parentheses, or indicate your intention to respond, and then by May 15th, 2009. Does that sound appropriate? Maybe we can wordsmith that a little bit.
Sure, that'll work, James. I didn't want to open a can of worms here. I totally understand what Dave's saying. I'm hoping you'll either get the folks who are up on this issue quickly responding, And silence will be taken as a silence, and then the 15th deadline applies so that we can try and wrap this stuff up before Sydney.
Absolutely. I think you're right on the money, Paul, especially recognizing the public comments on other issues that are coming down the pipe, like Dave, our writing assignments are piling up. But I certainly don't want to build in an extra week automatically for folks who may have no intention of responding at all. So I think that Marika's suggestion is probably a good one. So if we're satisfied with that as a group, we can move on to the next bullet point. I guess just to close on that, Marika, how soon would you want me to then send that out? We can work offline then to actually implement that, sending that letter to the directorate.
Okay.
The next item was also assigned to Dave. Well, Dave got the first three, which was to relevant to the comment 1A made by it was R. Atkinson. And you had circulated something to the list. Is that correct, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me pull that back up. Okay, so you're going to have to bear with me here while I dig through some notes. This was the gentleman that was pointing to the use of short TTLs to facilitate mobile DNS services.
Correct.
Okay, and this is for shipboard or aircraft internet services and how they are, I'm assuming they're roaming from different non-terrestrial connection points, and what would you like to say to kick this off? Because this is new material that was not considered during the original working group.
I went through the interim report, and I said, well, if we're going to include something like this, you know, how many different places will be affected? And so my email identifies places in the executive summary and sections of text that should be incorporated or altered. And I've offered some of the some of the suggested replacement text, but some of the other required enough wordsmithing and creative writing that I decided I would pause and see if the working group was was satisfied with my approach before I dove in and worked with Marika to coordinate an update to the draft final report. So there's a kind of a laundry list of items in an email I posted yesterday that that I'm not certain we want to walk through, but primarily what we want to do is, I believe, is to expand on the positive applications of fast flux techniques, which is one comment that Ron made. And then one of the things that he and several others had mentioned was that we really didn't do a very good job of making the distinction between positive and malicious use of fast flux clearer. So some of the comments in this email address the improving or tightening up of the wording that kind of evolved over time in the interim report, so that we actually use the term volatile networking. We use the term fast flux attack consistently, and then I think importantly we make clear that one reason why there is we appear to abandon that terminology when we specifically address the comments from the GNSO Council or questions from the GNSO Council is that we felt it was inappropriate for us to alter the questions as formulated, so we present them as formulated. So there's a lot of little editing all throughout the document that kind of required to pull all that together. And it begins in the executive summary section 1.3. It carries through to bullet items under each instance where we talk about the charter questions. It carries through in sections where we talk about who benefits from fast flux.
So under each of the subordinate questions in the charter questions that are relevant, and then it sort of culminates in writing a more detailed explanation of what the mobile application is that that RAN introduces. I think it's valuable for us to actually provide some of the citations that he provides in his comment, and I think if we do that, we probably address his comment to the extent it's appropriate, and we've also I think given a little bit more balance to the argument.
Okay, so I am looking for that message. I did have this three-paragraph message that you provided on the 22nd, but
this one
I must
was,
be...
was dated April 28th at 8:52 a.m. U.S. Eastern.
Okay.
And it says that the subject is accommodating Rand Atkinson's comments.
Okay. The last one I have is processing Rand Atkinson's comments, so my apologies there. I guess the one... it seems that we have a couple of different ways we can handle this comment, because there's a lot of good and substantive information here that, at least in my opinion, it was a scenario that wasn't fully explored during our deliberation. And if we did explore it, we didn't flesh it out possibly as well as it deserved. I think one approach, the simplest approach, would be to simply acknowledge that. In the document, acknowledge that there's this beneficial use that was not identified or explored during the original discussion, and possibly do some intelligent deferment where we outline what it is and what it isn't, and then possibly recommend in the future, in the next step section, recommend future studies on that. Because I'm concerned that if we go down a new path, that's going to open up not only potential benefits, but then potential ways that could also contribute to different problems and different parties that might be involved compromising. Now we're talking about, when we go back to compromised hosts, is there such a thing as a compromised mobile host?
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm afraid it might be just the tip of an iceberg or the tip of a spear that would open up a whole new section of the report. The second attempt, sort of a middle ground, would be to find those areas about things like who benefits and legitimate uses, and make sure that we mention mobile DNS applications in that section. And again, I'm just trying to strike the balance here between, we certainly don't want to add another 60 pages to this thing, but we also don't want to shortchange this subject. This is an excellent comment, and it's new information, and it's something that we hadn't considered. We want to do it justice, but on the other hand, we also want to make sure it doesn't kind of overwhelm this report this late in the game. So just wanted to throw those benchmarks out to the group and see what we can arrive at. I think we have a couple of different options.
Yeah, just as a note, James, I actually don't see that that this would this would result in dozens of pages.
Okay.
I'm literally thinking that what we would do is is essentially plagiarize Rand's Rand's comment and incorporate it. And I don't believe that it's more than a half a page, and it could be probably condensed into something that is sort of consistently detailed with the other examples of applications. So my thinking was that we would simply incorporate this in the same, you know, the same degree of, you know, of attention that we had with the other applications. Not that we
okay.
go off into, you know, so I think that's your alternative too, is what I had originally intended.
Okay, that's fine. I was concerned that this would merit some inclusion in essentially every aspect of our charter question. But you don't see that necessarily being the case?
No. I confused everyone. There were actually two questions that Ran asked, and one question that we are coming to some agreement on is that when we incorporate the mobile application, we would do so consistent with the way we treated other applications. The second issue that I said was sort of permeating the report was that the report evolved over months, as everyone knows, and there are places where, having read it again, trying to think about how to introduce Ram's second comment was, we don't do a good job of distinguishing between malicious and beneficial uses. And part of that was because we didn't use the terminology consistently throughout. So that comment is like a couple of words here and a couple of words there, and maybe an introductory note before the charter questions are presented. But I don't think, again, that that's going to make the report substantially longer. It's going to hopefully tighten up some presentation that isn't quite as clear to people who didn't weather the entire 6 months of the working group.
Okay. And I'm still looking for your message from the 28th, but did you just identify those insertion points, or did you also have some proposed text?
Yeah, and it's actually, Marika had sent out a draft final report, and so there are page numbers and line numbers to help.
Okay. And I see why I didn't have it there, Dave, is that I filed it under the RAP working group thread, so the dangers of us participating in so many different groups.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Marika. What I can maybe do in between now and the next call, because it might make it easier for people to review this text, to actually insert Dave's suggestions in the draft final report, so people can see as well, you know, which context is placed and what the text around it is, and it might be easier in that way to suggest further changes or make additional comments to do so. So I don't know if that people will find it helpful to review these in that context, or
I think so. Would they be just indicated as a comment or a highlighted as an insertion?
Yeah, what I've done now, basically anything that's added is all in track changes. Anything that has changed from the initial report to now in the draft final report is all in track changes. So that will give us an opportunity at a certain point in time to go through the different sections and, like we did as well, I think, with the draft initial report to see, section by section what has changed, whether people are happy with the change, whether, they want to make further comments or provide additional drafts and work on that basis might be the easiest.
Okay. I think that would be an excellent approach, Marika.
And I'll help. Marika, just send me any questions, and I'll prepare the sections now that I said I'd wait until we actually had some closure. So it's just a couple of paragraphs that I didn't write, frankly, because I'm writing a million other things.
Okay, that would be great. And I think as well, in the meantime, if anyone already had a chance to review it and wants to make comments, I mean, I think we can take that in the meantime as well on the mailing list and work in that way. Or I don't know if there's time on this call to discuss any of these items now.
Greg Aaron has joined.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Did I miss anything?
We're now down to the third item on our action list, which we're using as an agenda from April 22nd. Greg, you did comment on the on Dave's response to Rand Atkinson's comments.
Dave Piscatello's comments?
Yeah, I see your message here where you provided, I think, some information from the registry constituency input statement.
Yeah, it was some technical information about PTLs. And I think Dave was thinking about working that into the text.
Yes.
He was working on for that section, so I guess we'll hear back from him.
Okay. Did you have anything else to add to that comment, Greg?
No. Thank you.
Okay. Well, this does somewhat dovetail into the next bullet point, which is to formulate a note on distinction between legitimate and illegitimate use, and circulating that to the mailing list. Is that a separate message, Dave, or was that part and parcel of the text for Mr. Atkinson's comments?
I think it's part of what we're going to try to do, with Rand's comments. As I said, it wasn't just Rand that made that observation. There's several people who felt, we could do a better job. So if everyone's comfortable, Marika and I can try to incorporate that as we make the track changes, and then we can discuss. But I think that at least one of the sections that I mentioned in the long message talks about this and about what wording we might be trying to use. So it's not really, in my mind, a change in substance, or it's a clarification that is probably overdue, and we probably should have done in hindsight, a little bit better job of tightening the language before we published it as an interim report. But that's why you have interim reports, so you can make these kind of corrections.
Absolutely. The next item was communication between Marika and myself to reach out to Casey Claffey and get some of her thoughts on how to or what might constitute a mechanism to separate legitimate and illegitimate use based on, I believe, purely technical means. And Marika has sent me a letter, and because I'm operating under the same schedule as most everyone else, I was just getting into it this morning, and I think it's fine, and we'll work with you off list, Marika, to get that sent out to Ms. Classy.
Okay.
The next item was I think that was Mr. Woodcock's comment, wasn't it? 2A.
Correct. I incorporated a proposal in the draft text and circulated it as well on the mailing list, and I think Greg made a very good comment there, and I think Mike Rodenbach responded as well, to maybe go back to him to get some further information on whether he has additional data to back up these assertions, to decide whether the working group should incorporate it or disincorporate it, but without any official support as such. I think did I understand that correctly, Greg? That was, I think, the point you were making, that that we need to see if there's more supporting data available to support his statements, basically, no? Greg, are you still there?
Greg, and it looks like Mike responded that he He agrees with Greg's option two of asking for additional information.
This is Greg. Yeah, I'm back.
Hi, Greg.
Hi.
So it looks like you've laid out two options for us relative to comment 2A. The first one is to essentially indicate that we're not taking a position on his comment. Or two, ask Mr. Woodcock if he can substantiate it a little bit further with data and just demonstrate how this is this issue affects the digital divide. I think that as long as we're reaching out to IETF folks and one of the commenters, I think that it's perfectly acceptable to reach out to Bill Woodcock as well. And I have a couple of different communications with him in the past, so I can take that as an action item, Marika, to reach out to Mr. Woodcock and ask for additional information.
Okay, great.
James, can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
It's Paul again. I'm sorry, you know, I wound up missing last week's call, so, and I haven't listened to the MP3, so I'm not sure if you guys addressed it on the call, but on the list there have been some discussion ways back about sort of the end result of this working group, specifically in terms of will anything be posted or positioned as best practices versus requirements, a mandate. I'm just left wondering if you can bring me up to date or up to speed in terms of you know, we're reaching out to folks, and you know, we are setting tight deadlines. You know, no more than 2 weeks to respond, et cetera. But you know, it just seems like God, this thing is going on and on and on. And I really am not sure. I mean, you look at how few of us are on the call now. You know, the interest there is clearly a perception, or at least it seems very clear to me that you know, this group was supposed to be wrapping up. And you know, for action items and whatnot, a lot of the these things with problems related to FastFlux, because FastFlux in and of itself was not the immediate problem. A lot of times it was the uses. It was going to be picked up in the RAP, the registration abuse policies, the procedures working group. I'm just wondering, where are we now? Because I mean, if we're reaching out to more people, even if they're responsive and whatnot, if that means maybe 2 weeks from now, we have additional calls, additional talk. You know, we've all invested a tremendous amount of time in this, and I'm sorry, I'm just not feeling confident that, you know, we're seeing the end of this thing wrapped up. And you know, again, I'm sorry if we did have a discussion, but, you know, recommendations to reach out, to ask more people, to get more details. Good Lord, you know, this has gone on so very long. Where does it end? Where do we draw the line? Say, here it is, and be done with this particular issue.
This is Greg. I mean, we could ask people like Mr. Woodcock for more information, but frankly, I don't know if it's going to contribute to the endpoint we're trying to get to. In his case, he's really talking about traffic created by botnets. And we can't do anything about mitigating botnets and their spread and where those nodes sit all around the world, including in developing countries. Asking for more information in this particular case would just kind of drag things out. So that's my view.
Okay. Well, I was operating under the premise that this one comment in particular was introducing something new. I mean, clearly we pretty much tore through Category 1. And let me just say, Paul, I agree with you 100%. One of the reasons why I kind of jumped on the hand grenade here to some degree was to try and get this to an orderly conclusion quickly as possible. And that's certainly what we should all be, you know, there should be a light at the end of that tunnel. I think I was concerned that there was some comments last week on the list that seemed to be very circular, and they were reopening very old, very worn threads. And you know, some of those folks aren't on this call, so I didn't necessarily want to dive into those or attempt to say that we've resolved them. But certainly, we don't want to go down those paths again. Paths about scope and paths about you know, policy versus mandates and best practices. I think that a lot of us are like minds of that. But I think that it's also important that we salvage the work that's been done to some degree, so that at least it at least can be an informative, if not as a counterexample, for future groups like the RAP.
And James, if I can maybe add to that, I think part of the work we're doing now as well is to do justice to those people that have, you know, taken the time to provide comments. And we did get quite some comments, so I think part of the process we're going through now is to really make sure that, you know, we reviewed them, taken them into account, incorporate them where we feel appropriate and necessary. And I think, you know, as pointed out in the email, we still have that final step of looking at Chapter 7 and 8, like conclusions and, you know, any potential next steps, because I do believe the Council will or is expecting a, you know, a response from the working group on, you know, whatever the group can agree on, what should be next steps, or, you know, if no next step should be taken, that should be a recommendation then as well. So I think we do still have a bit of work ahead, although, you know, I feel all your pain, and you know, I think everyone would like to wrap this up as soon as possible, but I think we do need to do justice, I guess.
Yeah, and the last call, I think that we had several folks say that, you know, that the group was kind of in a stasis and not necessarily charging down the tracks for a couple weeks there, and the goal is to get this off of everyone's calendars as quickly as possible so that we can move on. But I don't want to shortchange the work that we've already done and shortchange the folks that have really provided some insightful comments. If nothing else, you know, I think the initial first call was that we capture those comments, categorize them, put them in as an appendix to the report, and then start working on the last section. And it was pretty clear that a lot of folks thought that that was kind of a hasty approach on my part. And so, you know, Paul, I think I'm with you there. I don't.
Yeah, James, and I mean, to be clear, I certainly appreciate, you know, the role you have as a chair, and I certainly appreciate the desire to, you know, fully address everybody's inputs. You know, kind of makes me wonder for future efforts as part of the PDP working group, yeah, are there ways that we can better reach out to folks so that we get these substantive comments earlier in the process, not at the 11th hour? And I'm not sure what the answer is, but, you know, I appreciate it. It seems like we keep setting out even more and more work for ourselves. And, I mean, I'm looking at the calendar, and good God, if, you know, some of these comments aren't going to come back until the 15th, you know, the clock's ticking, and I very, very short time frame if the goal was to try and have this wrapped up by Sydney. And if it's not, oh, man, now we're into the summer, and, you know, just where does it end? That's just a general question. Where does it end?
So,
well,
Paul,
can I... go ahead, Dave.
I think that what we're seeing here is, you know, is a very, very good illustration of why one might conclude that you know, this is an area where policy you know, would struggle to be agile enough to, you know, to accommodate, you know, the shifting sands and, you know, and the various concerns. if you look at the how we started thinking about what Fastflux was in SDAC back at the end of 2007, and you look at how it's evolved to the config or down and up model now, and and it continues to evolve. We are playing a game of catch up, and we always will be playing a game of catch up. And I think that that's something that we could acknowledge in the report, without having to say, we're going to do more study and we're going to look into how we could, how TTLs are used here and how TTLs were used in this attack and how TTLs are used in this application. I think that we can do justice to the comments by acknowledging that those that can be contained within a reasonable time frame. And we have to we have to let go in some respect the notion that we're going to be able to answer all the questions of things like the digital divide and how bots affect them, as Greg said. But I really would I have to agree with Paul that it would be very very problematic for us to to try to draw this out beyond Sydney.
The last council meeting prior to Sydney is May 28th. So is that 1 month, give or take, from today? I think that either that meeting or the council workshop in Sydney, we should be preparing our final report. Does that sound like, I mean, is there a consensus on the group that that's a hard stop for this issue? And I say that knowing that some of the folks who are not fully addressing these issues are not on the call today.
This is Marika. I think it will definitely be doable as long as people are willing to take on the tasks and provide input on where some comments need to be integrated, and especially provide suggestions or recommendations for those sections that still need further work, like chapter 7 and 8, and there are as well two questions in the report that we have left to, we'll address this question once we have further feedback. I mean, it might be as simple as saying, well, we've discussed it and we don't feel we have enough information to answer this question or whatever, but, if we set ourselves a deadline, I think we need as well the willingness from the members of the group to commit the time to get the work done.
I agree, and I'm also looking at Category 9, which is a number of comments. One other thing is that, and I wanted to thank everyone that's been working on the list, but I think that the amount of substance that we address on the call is, and we're way off the agenda by now, folks. I think that Paul really had a much needed interjection there. But one of the things is we should probably see a lot more activity on the list, and then the calls are used just more as a touch point to go over those things. But we still tend to use the calls to discuss some of the substantive issues. Not so much this call particularly, but I think the last 2 weeks. We only have a few minutes left, and I have some work on Category 3, and I know Rod and Dave worked on Category 4. If we're to make the cutoff there for Sydney, that means that we need to be through with these comments here in about another week or two. Actually, probably this time next week, we need to be running through these comments. That will give us sufficient time to work on the last two sections of the report and then do a final read-through. Is that doable?
Speaking for my writing assignments, yeah, I intend to have my writing assignments done by next week. So.
Does that put much burden on staff, Marika? I know, I'm sure this isn't the only report you have on your to-do list for Sydney.
No, it's not. But you know, if people provide me the input, it doesn't take me that much time to insert the right sections and run through it. So I think from a staff perspective, we're able as long as the rest is able to keep up.
Sorry, this is Glenn. I've just seen that there is a note from Bo Brendler.
That's another group, Glenn.
Oh, sorry. I'm also getting muddled up. Sorry.
That group shares a lot of the same
exactly.
Membership as this one. Okay. Well, what I'd recommend is I will post items for Category 3 onto the list, and then I will move on to, it looks like Category 5 is next. Rod and Dave, if you guys could put your information on the list. And then I would love to take volunteers to just read through Category 6. And by the way, when we're doing these assignments, what we're doing, or at least what I'm doing, is taking a look at the comments that were submitted, reading through them, trying to discern if there's any new information in those comments. If we feel that the concerns or points that are made have been sufficiently addressed elsewhere in the report, if they are, I'm just putting a check mark next to them and saying, these folks have reached some of the same conclusions or at least identified some of the same issues that we have. And it's only in those comments that introduce new information that we're setting aside for a little bit further discussion on the call.
James, added to that, it might be helpful because we might want to add this document, the categorization, as an annex or post it somewhere on the FastFlux wiki. If you see somewhere like, we've addressed this on page number or whatever, please add it so I can incorporate it here as well, so people can actually look back saying, my comment was actually addressed on page 5, section whatever. And if any suggestions are made for incorporations in the text, it would be really helpful as well if people do the same thing. Could you please add this on page 5, line 200, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or we could address this comment with just a few sentences here with some suggested text.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would, assuming I have 3 and 5 and Dave and Rod have category 4, can we get enough volunteers on this call to push through 7 and 8 and then start to divvy up 9?
James, I'll take 7 and 8. It's Paul.
Okay.
And, just a question for the group in particular. The work Dave has already done to the list, in terms of tightening definitions and providing consistency throughout, If I move forward on the assumption that we're going to incorporate all of Dave's changes, I think 7 and 8 are very, very easy to address. But is that a fair assumption? I mean, we started talking about it, but I'm not sure we really reached a conclusion in terms of how to insert the recommended changes Dave had posted on the list.
I believe we will accept those changes, but I don't know exactly what form they'll take at this point, Paul.
Okay.
Maybe we can make that our top priority for the list work, and then that will then feed those other categories. Dave and Marika, is that possible?
Sure.
Okay. Maybe we can work something out on that, and then... And Paul, just so you're aware, a comment reaching out to Bill Woodcock, I was going to try and get a response from him today, not yet until May 15th.
All the better, buddy.
I think if it's going to take more than a couple of days or more than something that he can provide, or if he doesn't already have this information handy, then I think we should just acknowledge it and move on. And I think that's going to have to be somewhat of the SOP for some of these comments that really have the potential to be studied in isolation on their own, the effect on the digital divide, etc. Great information, very intriguing comments, but not necessarily conducive to what the path to conclusion for this group might be.
So James, if I can paraphrase what you said, because it sounds like a really useful guideline for where we want to focus our efforts. If there's something substantive that we've overlooked that would alter the recommendations or influence the recommendations that we would make to the council, we probably should burn some cycles on those. If it's just more information or more data on things that we already know, then that's just adding work, and we should kind of set that aside and just say there's only so much we can address in a document that's not going to become the size of an encyclopedia.
Dave, that's I think that's very well said. In fact, I think you phrased it much more succinctly, and that then causes me to go back and take a look at the question for that we had for Ms. Claffey. We talked for weeks, if I recall, about whether or not it was technically possible to measure fast blocks, legitimate versus illegitimate, and all the different scenarios that would create false positives. I feel like that horse has been beat to death and buried. So do we want to acknowledge this comment here and then perhaps not, reach out to Ms. Claffey, because that would just be additional work and cycles for her that maybe, if her schedule is anything like ours, I'm sure that might not necessarily be welcome.
I'd also like to add that working with KC on SAC, I know that that it, particularly in her world, what you work on is prioritized by where funding comes from.
That's an easy decision because we're free, right?
Well, yeah. I didn't want to be quite so blunt as to say that, but I know that it's a real, real struggle for KC to to find time to do data analyses outside of funding. And I don't want to speak for her. I just want to set our expectations that somewhat correctly.
Well, the final report is going to be open for comment at some point as well. Correct, Marika?
There is no, official public comment foreseen in the bylaws. Normally, there is a public comment period after the council reviews it and adopts recommendations, and before it goes to the board, I think.
Okay.
If the group would recommend a public comment period to address specific questions, that could be as well one of the recommendations. If the group says, "Well,
oh, no." No, that wasn't what I was recommending.
Well, but
as
a next step to say, well, these are some areas that need more research or could be, subject to further fact-finding and public comments, but not as a another stage to this report,
Well, what I was thinking was that, for these folks that were asking for additional information, maybe the appropriate step is to ask them to additional information and invite them to participate in that in between the council and board round of comments, and acknowledge that we're expecting some additional substance from them, and that way we can keep this group focused.
Yeah, just
not,
to
not
note,
send them up for a wild, not send them on a wild goose chase, etc.
Just to note, I think, and I have to apologize there because I'm not that long with ICANN yet to actually have gone through the stage of a final comment period in between the council and the board. But I think normally that comments are specifically requested as well on the recommendations that the council has adopted. So it's not as much on the whole report, but I think it's more related to the recommendations that the council adopts on the basis of the report.
Okay, so on the resolution necessarily from the council?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So. I mean, I would need to go back and double-check that, but I believe
okay.
That's the case. So it's not a case where you then open again the final report and add stuff in. I think once the final report is final, it's final. And
understood that. I just was hoping there was this, maybe some other avenue where they could we could just invite them to send their input and then move on. I think that we can, you know, I don't want to take too strong an opinion here, but I wanted to put it out to the group. I think that the issue of examining technical means to determine whether or not Fastbox is legitimate or illegitimate is a an important but endless discussion. I think that the discussion about the digital divide is interesting, intriguing, something we definitely did not consider, but I think it is can take us in a similar type of a direction. So I want to put it to the group without something as formal as voting, but I wanted to just kind of gauge the level of support. Do we want to reach out to Bill Woodcock or Casey, or do we want to just acknowledge their comments and thank them for introducing some interesting new tangents and then just leave it at that?
James, how would we acknowledge comments? Would we still be communicating with the poster?
I think we would acknowledge the comments in the report where we're discussing the comments as a whole.
And I think Greg made a good suggestion for the comment by Bill Woodcock, just basically saying, like, well, this was introduced, you know, the working group hasn't taken a position on it, but basically providing the information, but not necessarily taking a stance on it.
Right. So, anyone? Paul, I think I kind of have an idea of which way you'd like to go.
Yeah, I mean, not to speak for the whole group, but I think we can recognize and move on. You know, if it's not something that's particularly within the mandate, or if it's nice to know but takes us in a new direction and whatnot, I think let's just, you know, kind of focus on those things that are really good, creative, constructive additions to the report that truly add some value. Work those in, and all the others, thank people for the effort, and just wrap it up.
Okay. Well, we're over our time, by the way, but we have assignments now for the list. 3, myself. 4, Rod and Dave. 5, myself. 7 and 8, Paul. And dependent upon some language from Dave. And then why don't you go ahead and put me down for number 6 as well, Marika? Go ahead, 3, 5, and 6 to post to the list. So when we reconvene, we should be able to discuss, we should have all of those issues put to bed except for any discussions or any of them that merit further deliberation similar to the 3 that we've been discussing with Casey and Woody's comments. And then we should be able to tackle number 9, which is large. We're probably going to have to do a different approach for number 9 and you know, begin the process of putting a bow on this working group and finishing up the report. So that's the immediate path forward. Does anyone have anything else they want to add?
Sounds good.
Okay, I was going to say silence or else Skype failed for me. So, okay, well, we'll adjourn for today. We certainly have a lot of takeaways, and maybe we can, since we didn't have an assignment, maybe we could have Cal look at item category 6, Marika.
Okay.
Just because he volunteered. We could have given him category 9, but that's kind of sadistic. almost 20 different sections in Category 9. So let's reach out to Cal on that and just see if he'll take Item 6 on the list. Thank you, everyone. And let's just keep it moving. The goal is to bring it to a close.
Sounds good. Thanks, James.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.